There were two assassination attempts on Sunday, the failed one on Donald Trump's life, and the successful one by the New Orleans Saints taking out the Dallas Cowboys. From Los Angeles, it's Mark Elliott with the Big Four Sports No Autopsy, No Foul podcast for Monday, September 16th. Thanks for being here. All right, here's what's up today on the Big Four Sports page. I'll recap week two of the NFL season. I've got a Raider Nation celebration coming up. I'm cutting heads today. I'll tell you what college coach needs to get fired now. Plus, I've got my top five college rankings, top five teams. Big switcheroo this week, we'll tell you about. The Lakers have a serious problem heading into the season, I'll discuss. I'll update you on Shohei Ohtani's 50-50 chase, and what in the hell are the Pittsburgh Penguins thinking right now? That's what's coming up on the Big Four Sports No Autopsy, No Foul podcast, now playing on Alexa, Spotify, Amazon, Audible, and at BigFourSportsUSA.com, where you can also read the Big Four Sports page. All right, week two of the NFL season is probably the worst week I've had in a decade picking winners and losers. I kid you not. Heading into tonight's Atlanta-Philadelphia game, I'm an embarrassing 6-9. Yeah, I'm choking on that. I went 11-5 last week. I was feeling a little cocky and went out on the line a little bit. Made some picks I probably shouldn't have, and I'm paying for it this week. Tonight I've got Philly. Either way you look at it, it's a losing week for me. But they happen. They happen. It's the first one in a decade that I can recall where I've gone sour this bad. But this is why I don't bet week one, week two. I need a little bit more certainty. I'm not sure I'm there yet. So week three, I'll make the picks. Not sure I'm going to put my good money down on week three just yet. But how are we supposed to look at the New Orleans Saints? A week one blowout of Carolina wasn't surprising, but blowing out Dallas in Dallas, 44-19 on their turf, tells me to wake up and smell the damn coffee. Are the Saints for real? Derek Carr has been playing well. He's not throwing up 350 yards passing, just barely over 200 the last couple of games. But he's not making mistakes, and that's always been the snake bite on Derek Carr. Turnovers in key situations, interceptions in key situations. Not happening right now. So the Saints are 2-0. Now, Alvin Kamara is playing like he's a rookie again. And I think the Saints go as far as he takes them. Now, as the season wears him down, we'll see how the Saints roll. Rashid Shaheed, Derek Carr's, Davante Adams in New Orleans. These guys are eye-to-eye on the same page at least the first 2 weeks. But three of the next four games for the Saints are against Philadelphia, Kansas City, and Tampa Bay. So we'll see. We'll see how good the New Orleans Saints are pretty quick in the next month or so. Arizona annihilated the Los Angeles Rams. I had dinner with some Rams fans last night, and it was not a happy dinner. Kyler Murray came out, struck fast, struck hard. Marvin Harrison announced, I'm here. 130 yards receiving, couple of touchdowns. John Connor, 122 yards on the ground. Murray just stayed within himself, 266 yards passing on 17 of 21. He continues to play like that. Cardinals might have a decent season this year, but it's only one game. Minnesota beating San Francisco 23-17. Who saw that one coming? I'll tell you what, I think Sam Darnold benefited by playing in San Francisco for 1 year behind Brock Purdy. He threw two touchdowns, threw for 268 yards, had a good game, and rightfully so. San Francisco didn't look good again this week. Purdy was great, 319 yards passing, threw a touchdown and threw an interception. Probably at a key point in the game where you didn't want to do that. Justin Jefferson for the Vikings had 133 yards receiving, and the quad injury, he said after the game, wasn't serious, but we'll keep an eye on that. And finally, the Kansas City Chiefs came from behind to beat Cincinnati 26-25. And once again, though, the officiating came into question because several holding calls were pointed out on social media that the referees missed. Now, they're going to miss calls. They can't watch every single player. But it just seems late in games, referees tend to really miss the offensive line holding, protecting Pat Mahomes. It looked like that again yesterday. So the NFL needs to look into this, and they need to take it seriously because the referee's credibility and the NFL's credibility is on the line. I mean, the conspiracy theories are, if the NFL doesn't look into it and take it seriously, the conspiracy theories will get worse. They will get worse. Yeah, the NFL wants Kansas City to win 3 in a row. They want that hype behind it to sell the league. That's what's going to happen. All right, because I'm a Raiders fan, I'm elated today. I didn't give the Raiders a chance in hell of flying to Baltimore and beating the Ravens after that piss-poor performance against the Los Angeles, should have stayed in San Diego Chargers on week one. But kudos to the guys who got it done. Gardner Minshew, Devontae Tippy-Toes Adams, Brock Bulldozer Bowers. I said in the game plan leading up, I said the Raiders need to be a pass-first, run-second team today. Defense needs to stuff Derrick Henry. They kept him under 100 yards. I consider that a victory. And the come-from-behind win was just magnificent to watch. I think the turning point for the Raiders' offense is when Gardner Minshew threw the interception and Max Crosby went to the sideline, got in his face, and fired him up. Fired him up. Let him say, hey, we got your back, man. We got your back. And the defense held up on the road. An impressive win by the Raiders. Let's hope it carries over against Carolina. You know, any given Sunday kind of stuff. But it's the home opener for the Raiders in Vegas against Carolina next Sunday. I'm looking for a blowout. Did you catch the backyard brawl on Saturday? West Virginia and Pitt. They've been playing this game dating back to the 1890s, and it's one of the most hated rivalries in sports. About 5 years ago, I was hiking near Malibu, and I had a West Virginia University t-shirt on. In the distance coming up the path was a guy wearing a Pitt Panther t-shirt. My first thought was, we're going to throw down here on the mountainside. Because that's what kind of rivalry this is. We don't like looking at each other. Don't want to talk to each other. Want nothing to do with each other. It's usually fisticuffs. If it had been Morgantown or Pittsburgh, probably would have been fisticuffs. We passed each other. We had our fuck yous, and that was the end of it. We walked on. Both with our dignity, because we... But I got the first fuck you in, which always win. The fuck you too doesn't have as much power as the first fuck you. But that's what happened. As God is my witness. But I honestly thought we were going to throw down as we approached each other. You could see the look in each other. I could see the look in his eye, and I know he saw the look in my eye. But that went down for sure. But in Pittsburgh, West Virginia was up 34-24 with just about 4 minutes to play in the game. They let it get away. Pitt won 38-34. Neil Brown complaining about the referees, the officiating, bitching about the Pitt coach and how he was acting. Pitt wanted it more. You could see it in the last 4 minutes. They did not want to be embarrassed by West Virginia. And the Mountaineers laid down and let Pitt scratch the bellies. Neil Brown should be fired immediately. In 3 weeks, he's lost to Penn State and Pitt, two rivalries of West Virginia. Two hated rivalries. He's had 6 years to get this team back in the top 20, where for close to 30 years, they were a mainstay. Sometimes, a couple of times, they played for the national title, or could have. In 2009, if they didn't lose to Pitt, that's still sour in every Mountaineers fan's crawl. They lost to Notre Dame back in the late 80s with Major Harris in the national title game. West Virginia traditionally has been one of the greatest college football teams in history as far as winning percentage goes, thanks to Don Nealon during his long stay in Morgantown. Bobby Bowden before he went to Florida State. The Mountaineers haven't been this bad since Frank Cignetti was the head coach back in the mid to late 70s. Neil Brown is matching that. He had a 9-4 team last year, luckily. He has most of his starters back, offensive and defensive, quarterback, running backs. But the past is a great indicator for the future, always. Okay, Brown started this theme called the climb. The climb's been over. I know some people still want to buy into it. But he came in screaming how bad Dana Holgorsen blew up the Mountaineer program when he left for Houston. It was a mess, according to Neil Brown. Now, 6 years in, you're 1-2 after losing to Pitt and Penn State, two teams you could have won and didn't. You need to be fired, Neil. Go back to Troy or maybe some other Division III school where your qualifications match, but you don't belong in Morgantown. You need to be fired. You need to go. You need to man up and maybe quit because you're a loser. The Mountaineers AD needs to go after Jimbo Fisher, who is rich beyond his wildest dreams thanks to Texas A&M. He might want to save WVU. And why Jimbo? He's a West Virginia native born in Clarksburg. You know, hell, Nick Saban, born in Fairmont, West Virginia, might come out of retirement and take pity on Morgantown and go coach WVU. Lou Holtz isn't dead yet. Pick up Lou. He might want to go one more time and coach. Put him in a wheelchair. Put him on the sideline. Great motivator of men. At this point, I'm ready to bring Rich Rodriguez back. Neil Brown, who can't coach for shit, needs to go. I just cut his head. Where's my Tylenol? I need a little whiskey to make me frisky right now. Excuse me. But you just get fed up. He is not the next Don Nealon. I'm sorry. He's not. He couldn't even hold Rich Rodriguez's jock, for crying out loud. Fire Neil Brown, West Virginia. Fire him. Now. By the way, I've got two tickets to the Arizona-West Virginia game. Six rows up on the 30-yard line. Anybody wants them? I'll pay you to take them off my frickin' hands.
Echo DOT DV1.
Thank you, Alexa. See, Alexa's connected now. I guess I woke her ass up. All right, here are the Big Four Sports top five college teams. I've been on Texas bandwagon since the preseason. I've taken a lot of hell through the chat box about putting the Longhorns number two ahead of Alabama and Ohio State. But the Horns, man, this is a damn good football team. So I've got them at number one this week. After Georgia's pathetic game where they just barely beat Kentucky 13-12. You know, hats off to the Wildcats on that game. But I've moved Alabama up to number two, Georgia at number three, Ohio State fourth, Ole Miss fifth. You can check out the top 12 at BigFourSportsUSA.com. All right, switching gears to the Los Angeles Lakers. They have a serious problem heading into the season. Now, the front line of the Lakers suffered tremendously last year because of injuries, and nothing's changed. Jared Vanderbilt, not ready to go. Christian Wood just had surgery last Monday to repair his left knee, so he's not going to be ready to go. Granted, it's a long season. He might get back after 20 games in. But why wait until early September? Why not do this the end of June? Why wait until right before training camp? But tells me something about Christian Wood. Now, I don't know what was discussed, but on the outside, just isn't a good look for him. The Lakers have no options. You know, they have nothing anybody wants to trade for. Okay, you can throw D'Angelo Russell out there. You can throw, you know, Gabe Vincent. You know, let's hope Jackson Hayes comes ready to play, because my concern always is when Anthony Davis isn't happy, he gets injured and misses 30 games. It's not looking good for the Lakers heading into the season because of this. No team is going to help the Lakers by trading frontline players. They're going to have to go to the G League and hopefully find somebody who can come in and help Jackson Hayes, at least in the short term. Outside of that, I like the Lakers' chances to win 50-55 games with the starters they have. The NHL season opens up on October 4th, and the Pittsburgh Penguins have yet to extend Sidney Crosby, the face of the franchise. Sid is entering the last year of a $104.4 million contract. That's right, $104.4 million. He signed it 12 years ago. He's been paid $8.7 million a year. And I think you'll agree with me that he's been underpaid for probably 9 or 10 of those years. And he hasn't bitched, hasn't complained at all. That's the kind of player Sidney Crosby is. You know, I signed the deal. I got to live with it. I know I'm worth double what I'm getting paid. But I signed the deal. Now, he's 37 years old, just turned in August. I'm sure he has plenty of juice in the tank. He's not going to be the Sid of 25, 30 years old. But who cares? Pittsburgh, extend him. He's already earned the money. You've got 3 Stanley Cup championships on your wall. The banners hang on your wall because of Sidney Crosby. Extend him. If you want him to be a Penguin for life, extend him. He puts asses in the seats even when the team isn't playing well. He does good in the community. He's everything you want the face of a franchise to be. He will be the face of the franchise after he retires. Give him 3 more years. Pay the man what he's been worth. He has certainly earned it. Do the right thing. Stand by your man, Pittsburgh. That's what's expected, by the way, by Penguin fans from this franchise. The 50-50 chase continues for the Dodgers' Shohei Ohtani. I'm starting to get a little nervous. I said he would be the first 50-50 man. He's at 47 home runs, 48 stolen bases with 13 games to play. I think he'll get the stolen bases. The home runs concern me a little bit. They play Atlanta tonight, but then they finish up with Miami, Colorado, San Diego, and wrap up the season again with Colorado. So if he can manhandle Miami, Colorado pitching, he should hit 3 more home runs in the last 13 games. But he's been kind of slumping the last few games. All right, let's get into the chat box from Big4SportsUSA.com. Larry in Costa Mesa, California, says, you've been focused on Shohei Ohtani for a few weeks without mentioning the year Aaron Judge of the Yankees is having. What gives? Well, you're right. Judge is gargantuan. I mean, the guy's hitting 321, 53 homers, 132 RBIs. He's the MVP. There's no argument there. But he only has 9 stolen bases. The reason we're focused on Ohtani is nobody has ever hit 50 home runs and stolen 50 bases. He should be the first because every year we see something that has never been done before in baseball. And that is certainly one of them coming up. But Judge, he's a monster. You just take him for granted. You just know that he's going to go up and crush home runs. This guy hits dingers. So, take him a little bit for granted. Probably shouldn't. So thanks for pointing that out, Larry. Chuck in Mesa, Arizona. In your preseason preview of the Arizona Cardinals, you picked them to finish the last and only win 4 games. Care to change your tune now? Well, you know what? You've got the Lions, 49ers, Packers, Chargers, and Dolphins coming up. I'm going to stand pat on Arizona. That was 1 game. Great game played by Kyler Murray and Marvin Harrison. But you know what? Teams are going to take notice, and they're going to prep now for the Cardinals. The Rams, I think, walked into that game thinking they had it won. They just needed to show up. Okay, and they stepped on their dicks. But Arizona's not going to surprise anybody moving forward. So I'm sticking with my prediction. 4 wins, maybe 5 if they're lucky. Linda, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. How do you see the Milwaukee Bucks shaping up for this season? Hey, when they've got Giannis, they're going to make the playoffs as long as he stays healthy. But they've really done nothing to improve this team since they won the NBA title. You know, I think Indiana and Cleveland has passed them by in the Eastern Conference in the Central Division. They'll be a playoff team if Giannis stays healthy, but that's it. I don't think they're going to go far. They could be easily eliminated in the first round, second round for sure, but I don't think the Bucks are going to go anywhere, and they didn't do anything to really help themselves in the offseason. Lopez is 36 years old. These guys are starting to age a little bit. Portis is 29 years old. Giannis is 29. Okay, and I just feel that players, once they start to hit 30, 32 years old, that's their prime. And after that, it's kind of downhill a little bit from there. All right, that's it for this week's edition of the Big 4 Sports No Autopsy, No Foul podcast. The conversation continues on X. Go to Big4SportsUSA.com to connect on the socials. You can read the Big 4 Sports page, too, and reach out to us on the chat box. We'll do this again next Monday, September 23rd. Which happens to be my birthday, so come celebrate with me. Till then, game over.